Good morning. So good to be here. It really is. Those of you who don't know me, my name is John Artzer. I live in Mexico now. We do business and missions, and I'll be out here once a month. I already got my ticket for October. So I listened to the entire service at the whole link, and this has been amazing, amazing sermons. I just want to correct some things in the last 6 weeks that were almost biblical. I'm playing. It's been a while. It feels like a year. It's only been 4 months. Whew. Just always be home. There's times and seasons in God that I feel like this morning God wants us to refocus on Jesus. Gaze again. There's times and seasons that are not like other seasons. For thousands of years, there was prophecies, and then John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was at that moment you were to behold the Lamb of God. It was no longer reading about Jesus. It was gazing upon Jesus. The Bible says that some Greeks had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the Passover, Philip from Bethsaida. And so they came to the disciples and said, "We would like to meet Jesus." That's what they wanted to do at that time. So the disciples went to Jesus, "Hey, there's some Greeks that want to meet you." And Jesus says, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be given the glory." So he didn't even go meet them. You need to know what season you're in, because if there's a time for you to jump in the pool, it's not church as normal. And we need to regaze on Jesus, because John knew Jesus on earth as the flesh. He was the closest to Jesus. But then Jesus revealed himself to John without the flesh, and John couldn't even stand up. There's another Jesus that we have not met. Let me just say it like that. There's another part of Jesus we do not know. There's a Jesus that is fierce. He's loving. He's kind. Some people only know the fierce Jesus. They don't know the loving Jesus. He wants you to know the loving Jesus. There's people that think just the soft Jesus. He wants you to know the turning the over the table Jesus. Because see, Jesus doesn't want to come in a part. He wants to come in fully. But we have to know what season you're in. And for young people, and their purpose and destiny, it's not like when I was growing up. We don't have 30, 40 years to mess around. There's seasons where you need to jump in now, because if you don't, then see, if I make this choice leads to these choices. I would never have these choices if I didn't make this choice. This choice leads to this choice. And little by little by little by little, we get off. And we think we know Jesus. And I'm not talking just to us. I'm talking to the church. And I'm talking to me, too. So I believe today God wants us to regaze on Jesus. And the title is A Festival in the Wilderness. Because we think many times our circumstances or things need to change. And really, we need to regaze again on Jesus. When they were in a deserted place, the Bible says it was late. They were running out of time, and it was in a deserted place, and there was over 5,000 men, and that means many women and children. And the disciples said, "Send them away to the market. Because here is the source, Jesus. There." But Jesus was always the source. See, wherever Jesus is, there's a banquet. Doesn't matter if it's a desert. Doesn't matter if it's late. Doesn't matter if it's starving. Doesn't matter if you went through tragedy. It's we have to regaze on him, because if we don't, see, the Bible's not a history book. The Bible's not a history book. And I want to say, Dan, can you put up the Jeremiah verse? Let me back up a little bit. There's a Jeremiah 20. There's people, before I get started, there's people that interpret the Bible this way. You have to interpret the Bible in its context. I'll give you an example. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." They say you cannot claim that, because Jeremiah was speaking to the Jews that were under Babylonian captivity. So you can't claim it. You can read it. You can see the heart of God. You can understand he gives hope, but you can't claim it. But let me go what Paul says in Timothy. If Dan could put it up there. He says, verse 16, is it actually 17 and 18, Dan? "That the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." And then verse 18, that's my fault, it's not Dan's fault. I'm rusty. "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." So that's an Old Testament scripture. "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out." That's speaking of an ox treading out grain. Paul used a verse meant for an animal and applied it to a minister. God can use any verse in the Bible to speak to you at any time. Why? Because he's living. You can't use this. You can't use that. God can use anything he wants in your life. Every pain, every tragedy, every hurt, every good thing. He can use it at that moment. So when we read the word, it's for now. Paul used that. It had nothing to do. Oh, you can't use that scripture. So I want to talk to you about a festival in the wilderness. When the Israelites were under Egyptian rule, God says, he said, let my people go. And he told them, and they went to Pharaoh and says, let us go because we want to hold a festival in the wilderness. Now, that seems like an odd thing because if you're going to have a banquet or a feast or a festival, you don't really want to be in the wilderness. Like, we think the conditions have to be perfect for God to move or for God to be good. And he says, no, I want to do it right where you're standing. Because when he said when the people were starving and they were hungry, not necessarily starving, they were hungry, and he sent them away. Now, if they sent the people away, think of all that time they still would have been hungry. And they would have had to pay out of their own pocket. Jesus already paid the price, friend, and it's available to you now. When he sets the banquet table, David says he sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's not a physical table. That symbolic means whatever provision you need at this moment, it is set before you. It says table, not a plate. It says table, not a platter. It's not a little. And when Jesus fed everybody, the Bible says, and they were all fed till they were full. That means the 5-year-old had this much, and the 40-year-old had this much, and you had this much, and you had that part, and you had hope, and you had glory, and you had grace, and you had mercy, and you had strength. Whatever you need, there's a table before you. But we have to regaze our eyes on Jesus because they're standing next to Jesus not knowing the provision is right there. They thought it was over there. It's at the market. Why? Because we always bought food at the market. We always did like this. I always prayed like this. My church attendance was always like this. My tithe record was always like this. I'm going to go back to what I always did. Jesus, send them away. And he says, no, you give them something to eat because the Bible says he was testing them. Do you really know who I am? Because wherever Jesus is, there's a table in the wilderness. Before your circumstances change, before you get married, before you have a kid, before something good, your car breaks down, friend, there's always a banquet when you're with Jesus. Wherever he is the provision. The problem is our gaze is off. Our gaze is off. Go to church, going to have a good service, John's going to preach. This sermon will not change your life. Only the Holy Spirit. Worship will not change your life, only the Holy Spirit. It will just be a song. You might as well sing a carnal song if you don't fix your gaze on Jesus. We're not just joining with other people. Jesus is King. And he wants to show himself in a way that you do not know. And I'm not talking about Baptists and Charismatics. I'm talking about friends, religion. I'm talking about anything because we can get very religious. And I'm talking Charismatics. This is the prayer, this is the thing, this is the oil, you got to say this, you got to say that, but see, here's the problem. I'm going to get practical. When they left Egypt and they went to have a banquet, they went to the enemies, Egyptians, and people, friends, people are not your enemies. The Bible says in the Psalms, in the day that God delivered David from his enemies and from Saul. Why does it say that? Because Saul was never David's enemy. David was Saul's. People are not your enemy. So they went to the Egyptians and they got gold and silver and then they left. Here's the problem. We have long conversations with the enemy and short conversations with God. Jesus was the opposite. He prayed all night with the Father. Next day, he grabbed the disciples and he chose the apostles quick. We have long conversations with the enemy. Jesus was very short. Come out. Stretch your hand. Get out. In the name of Jesus, rise up, wither. Very short prayers. What we do is because we don't pray much and don't spend much time, when we're actually praying for people, that's our prayer time. That was not Jesus' prayer time. That was his command time. So the Bible says many needed to be healed, and the Bible says, but Jesus withdrew. So he talked to the Father. Our long conversations need to be with God, and our short conversations need to be with the enemy. Because the only reason we don't have a banquet is because our guests are different. We need to invite God to the banquet hall, not hopelessness or doubt or regret. Those things will play. And look, they have played in my mind many times about if I did this. Where you're at is Jesus. You can start today afresh. But it's not going back to what you usually do. Dale Gentry, who we love, who some of you don't know, was a prophetic voice for years. He was a radio DJ. And he says, God, I'm so unfulfilled. And he said, give me the first hour of your day and I'll change your life. Well, he was already getting up at 4. I think 3, because he was a DJ. Now, that's not what God's saying to you. But he's going to say something new and fresh to you. Behold, I do a new thing. It's not going to be, just keep doing what you're doing. That's very rare. Just keep doing what you're doing. No, I want you to see this. So, like, when I got saved at 13, I was not raised in a Christian home. My dad hated the fact that I became a Christian because he was Catholic. But I would ride my bike to church, church on the hill, and it was on a hill. It was on a high hill. And I would go there, and I would experience God, but I had a childlike heart. But then as you get older and you get more experienced and you get wiser, then you know what to expect. But when you come like a child, you can receive so much easier. They came to Jesus, increase our faith. He says, if you had faith. Can you imagine? If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed and see to this mountain be removed and do not doubt. The problem is not our faith. The problem is it comes with doubt. You have enough faith to do everything God's called you to do. The problem is the doubt. And do not doubt. And do not doubt. In the Psalms, it says, you know, the Israelites, they were complaining against God, and they had him a question. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Now, it was a question, but it was more of an accusation. Did God really say? Can God do a miracle where I'm at in this situation in my life? Everything that you need to fulfill his will, he will enable you to have when we put our gaze on Jesus, not on religion, not on our past, not what mom said, not what dad said, not the limits of our family. If you're called to have a business and no one in your family's had a business, that can play on you. No one's ever had money. No one's ever left this country. No one's ever did this. But from where from where you're sitting, you can go anywhere in the world. See, what happens is when we get a word from God or a promise from God or we don't like our situation, we think that has to change. But what really needs to change is our gaze on Jesus needs to change. They're rocking on the road to Emmaus, and they were complaining, almost kind of complaining, like, we really thought it was close. Jesus was close. We thought he was going to be the one. Standing next to him, not realizing who he was, and then Jesus began this. Didn't our hearts burn? So many times we can walk with Jesus but not see another aspect of revelation of who he is. If I had this a towel over this and I reveal, this exists. The provision in the desert exists. What changed? There was a demand put on it. Your faith can put a demand on the supernatural. Jesus never went to Judas for any provision. I got to pay taxes. Go see Judas. Judas, how much do you, why? Because that was never his source. This was his source with the Father, and he would demonstrate it. That's why he would say the kingdom of God is at hand. We can't just talk about it week after week after week. He is that real Monday morning when you go to work. When your dad's talking to you and he says the same thing over and over and over, you can pray for him. My dad was an alcoholic. My brother cut his arms. This is not something I just read in a book. I lived it. Both of them. One died saved and the other one's saved now. So it can't just be what I see. Thousands of years they prophesied to the Messiah, Jesus. The scribes and Pharisees studied him. But standing next to Jesus, they missed him. Because the scriptures, your prophetic word doesn't point to a prophetic word. It points to a good God and a good King who is faithful. And we have to regaze our eyes no matter what. Did God really say, can he prepare a table in the wilderness? I cannot answer that for you. But if you don't fill yourself up with worship, because we got to get practical, like, oh, that's great. What table in the wilderness? Practical, have shorter conversations with the enemy and longer conversations with God. And the only thing we say to the enemy is what he says. Go to the Israelites and get the jewel. Satan, get behind me. Jesus had very, very, very short conversations. Even with the religious, let me ask you a question. And he was always interrupted. Things will try to interrupt your eye. Most Jesus' miracles were from an interruption. He's teaching, woman in adultery. He's teaching through the roof. He's walking, who touched me? See, God wants to interrupt your life with the supernatural, and we have to be willing to be interrupted. Wake up at 2 o'clock. The time is not, no, we want to meet Jesus. Why? I just want to see him. I just want to talk to him. I want to get to him. He goes, no, Jesus says the time is for me to die in the glory, go to glory. We have to know the times and seasons. And I'm not talking about when he's coming back. Because if you're not here tomorrow, guess what? He just came back for you. We don't know our time. You get one life. Now, this is not like I'm trying to be like, oh, heavy and just, you know. But I am saying, look, God wants to do something new in your life. He wants to do something supernatural that he's never done. But we have to be able to put a demand on it and see that he is able to put a table in the wilderness. That means our circumstances, that means what I'm trying to say is our circumstances don't need to change before we hear God, before we walk with God. In fact, some of his best work is done in the desert. Some of his best kings are made on the backside of the wilderness. Moses was in the wilderness and he saw a burning bush, but he had to turn. Some of us need to turn. And he looked on the bush, and Jesus, if you study it, it's actually Jesus was in there, in the fire. It says the angel, not an angel, with the angel. See, Jesus always existed. He just wasn't born. He's always existed. He was always good in your life. He was always calling you. He was always wooing you. But one day you recognized it. Now he's going to put you to another level, and a deeper level of supernatural, but you have to recognize it. And he says, he told Moses, take off your shoes. And he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Deliver my people. First, we must know who he is, because knowing who he is, then you discover who you are. So when we pray for things, people are not our enemies. Circumstances are not. I need this to change. I need this to change. I need this to change. God, I'm looking to you to enable me to do everything you've called me to do, but to know you in a deeper level, not just to do things. You can. There's a lot of people that do a lot for God, friends, but they don't have the intimacy with him. They don't care about the person in front of them in Walmart. They can minister in power and might, but when they leave the doors, you have to love people. That is a true test of if you really love God, if you love people. Now, I know people cut you off, and I do, you know, I get mad too. I'm not talking about just, you know, there's things. But if you don't authentically care about, you got your hair cut for 13 years with the same lady, not once did you tell her about Jesus, friends. We have to reevaluate what's important to us. Amen? So I really believe God wants to regaze us up because he wants to set a table for you in the wilderness. Psalms 23, one of those popular psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. That is verse 5 in that. You set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's the same. That's David. And if you know anything about David, he was anointed to be king. But he ran for years because someone was trying to kill him. It didn't look like, but the call was still there, but he ran. The anointing was still there, but he ran. And the Bible says the presence of the Lord came on him from that day forward. But it didn't look like him. There was a cave of Adullam. And then he had these people that were like, that wanted to kill him one time. And they were like the outcast. And then they were the ones in debt. And so when you look at your life, I don't have much. I have a little boy's lunch. But when you put it in the one that actually can set a table in the wilderness, he can feed over 20,000 people. They don't even know how many because they only counted men. Standing right next to Jesus, think about it. Send them away. The provision is right there. Send them away. They have to go buy it. Jesus, dude, what about taxes? He said, Peter, go fishing. Well, throw out a line. Peter doesn't throw out lines. He throws out nets. God's going to call you to do stuff you've never done before. Peter didn't throw out lines. He threw out nets. And he threw out nets, and he got a load, and he went to the market, and there was time. There's that word time again. It was getting late. Jesus condensed time. In a moment, they were fed, all of them fully satisfied, and there was enough left over. He's not, his resources are unlimited. His love is never ending. The problem is on our side. The problem is on our side. That mission trip is going to cost. The new building is going to cost. Getting up earlier to prayer is going to cost. We look at the cost. We look at what it takes. We look at it in the natural, because you can talk yourself practically out of fulfilling the will of God in your life. It's not practical. And I'm not talking about no wisdom. Lena's very practical, has a lot of wisdom. But when it comes to faith, I'm not talking about that. I'm just going to sell everything and just walk around and hitchhike and just get offerings. John, you're an idiot. Because I have favor in Juarez and stuff. Why? Because God's called me there. I would not have the same if I went to Tokyo. If I went to Tokyo, I'd still be saved, still be his son, but I wouldn't have the same favor, anointing, grace, and power. There's a place that God has for you that you will flow with him, and it's not easy. We think if it's easy, if it's God. Friends, if you look at everybody that fulfilled the will of God, it was never easy all the time. There was always obstructions. The religious came against Jesus. The scribes came against Jesus, but he used it all. Judas sold Jesus. Boom, used it. Scribes and Pharisees came against him. Boom, used it. So when we look at our life and we see how we can reevaluate Jesus, do you see the situation you're in? Does it need to change or does your gaze need to change? What needs to change in your life before you fully trust him? What needs to change? What addition do you need? What more does God need to show you that he loves you, that he's a provider, that he's able to do? What more? One more sermon, one more church service, one more this, one more that, one more conference, one more this? Or is it one more moment you turning aside to Jesus? Instead of saying, send them away, says, bring it to me. Here, Jesus. Here's the brokenness. Here's the little boy's lunch. Here's the this. Here's the burning bush. Because God has always taken a little and made it great. Jesus was a baby. In the Bible, and they tried to kill him. And when they saw the baby, what did the people that knew God? Behold, Simeon. And the woman that prophesied when it's a baby. It's faith to know when it's a baby. Everybody can see when it's a crop. But when it's a seed, you say, oh, it's an orange tree. See, when it breaks the ground, you go, a tree's growing. But true faith is to see through the dirt and say, something has broken through that seed. Because man sees it when it breaks the ground. God sees it when it breaks the seed. And there's things that are broken seeds in your life, but you just have not seen them yet. For me, too. But it's a supernatural. There's a supernatural demand. Jesus is walking. Someone touched him. A lot of people were touching him, Lena. One woman put a supernatural demand on him, and he didn't have to stop and make a choice going, I'll heal you. Why? Because it's always there. Healing is always there. Provision's always there. Mercy's always there. Grace is always there. All somebody just put a demand on it. Today we can put a demand on him that you've never put a demand in your life. I've been confused in this area. God, I'm going to put a demand on you in this area. God never says, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. He'll never say that. The Holy Spirit's never wrong. He'll never sell you something on Tuesday and change his mind on Thursday. But sometimes he'll tell you to make a step and trust me. Because he doesn't give you that. Someone says, God will give you the plan. No, God will give you the step. He has the plan. Bring it to me. What are you going to do, Jesus? A little boy's lunch. Jesus, what are you going to do? That's what we want to know. Are you going to bring it? Are you going to sell it, make money? No. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to me. Just bring it to Jesus. Bring that confusion, that messed up thing. Bring it to me. Because when you want to answer all the questions, then time goes by, and you got to put it in his hands. First it touched his hands, and he took it, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and then he gave it away. What? He was going to give away grace, mercy, love, power, might. Because when you are filled up with that, you will want to give it away. My brother cut his arms, burned himself, worshiped the devil. My aunt and uncle's calling me, say suicide. That's in the natural. But supernatural, like Jesus, I talked to my Heavenly Father, and I prayed for him. And I witnessed to him many times, but my brother got saved by himself in a Muslim country on a business trip. No preacher, nothing on TV, no radio, one-on-one, God and man. And he can do the same with your kids. He can do the same with your loved ones. Because we think this happens this way, this happens this way. But the supernatural is not natural. So, Lord, I thank you today for doing supernatural things. We put a demand on you, God. God, first we repent for looking at other things, thinking it's our source. Or looking at our circumstances, think we have to figure it out. How am I going to get through this, figure this out, go through this? How am I, Lord, we turn our gaze to you, Jesus. We turn our gaze to you and we fix our eyes on you, the author and finisher of our faith. And because you're the author, we give you the pen. And we're in chapter 6 and we're trying to judge a book by chapter 6. But who finishes chapter 6 when there's 12 chapters? You got to keep reading the chapters. You got to keep reading the chapters because the author's not done yet. He's still writing. So I thank you, Lord. Whatever circumstance we face, we know we just ask you to put a banquet. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, he can. Did God really say? Yes, he did. Is God able? Yes, he is. So, Lord, we thank you that you're good, you're merciful. And no matter what happens in our life, God, we know that you didn't cause tragedy, hurt, pain. But we live on this world. And we trust you, God. We want to demonstrate. We want to get to know the real Jesus. Not the part Jesus. Not the part-time Jesus. Not the part-time Jesus that just saves us when we're in trouble. The part-time Jesus that gives us a blessing or a parking spot. The full-time Jesus. That's one that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Because God has many things for us individually and corporately that we haven't even asked for. But we're putting demand on the goodness of God right now and His mercy. Some of you have asked for healing for many things for the same thing. God's saying, just touch my robe. Sitting in your house, you can have a visitation with God when you put your gaze on Him. And some of us, we need to turn the TV off. We need to turn the news off. I'm not saying all those things are bad, but there's time we need to let Him soak and hover over our life. The brooding of the Holy Spirit. That's really what that means. The Holy Spirit brooding over, like He did Mary, over your life. And then the rain of God coming down on your lives to bring forth what was dead in the ground up. And you know when it rains, when it really rains, you can see the ground and you can see the green stuff? Well, it was always there. What revealed it? The rain. The rain of God. The rain didn't bring the seeds. The seeds were already there. The rain revealed it. So, Lord, we thank You for Your rain revealing what You've always had for us. I thank You for salvation. I thank You for revival. God, I thank You for revival in this house. I thank You this isn't our last building. God, I thank You for young people and mission trips and orphanages and more wells. God, this is only the first well. We want Your plan, God, and we agree with You, so we put a demand on the God of heaven. Jesus walked the earth and He taught. Not everybody received His teaching. Not everybody received His healing. But we are a people that receive You, Jesus, and we put a demand on the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Some of you are going to have angelic experiences, and I wasn't planning to say that, but you are. You are. Well, I've read a book about it. My grandma did it. And no, you. You. And God's not asking you for your permission. And God is going to interrupt some of your lives in a supernatural way. And you're going to see a type of a burning bush. I'm not going to say a physical, but there's something that you're going to know that's God. And you need to turn aside from your daily routine. This is who I am. This is my limits. This is my levels. This is what I'll always be. So, Lord, I thank You for preparing a table in the wilderness. No matter what circumstance, situation we're in, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Yes, He can. And some of His best parties are in the wilderness. God, and I thank You, we don't have to add anything to our lives before You. We just want You, and You add what You want, and You take us where You want, and You do what You want. So we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Before I dismiss, I'm going to say this. This week, I encourage you guys to put a demand on the supernatural. When I say supernatural, I'm talking about God. Say, God, I'm thank You for showing me, guiding me, and doing. I'm open for the new. Because when we're not open for the new, you can really close yourself off. And we can, charismatics, anybody can be religious. This is the way He moves. This is the way He speaks, right? This is the way He talks. No, He can come in a new and a way. And I need to see a vision. No, He will touch your life in a new way. God has spoken through non-believers. We have to be open to any of His ways. And I think for the longest time, God will hide things in that some things that you have prejudice against. Like, oh, women preacher, well, He's going to put it in there. Oh, kids, He's going to put it there. And you have to humble yourself and be willing to receive it from that. And for some of you, that's listening to new teachers. Because everything that we've done has brought us to this point. So now we need to do something else that's different that we haven't done before. And so we need, Lord, I just thank You for touching the supernatural. She had an issue of blood for years. But at that moment, Jesus was walking by. Not at another moment. The next week, she couldn't hear about it. Paul, Jesus walked by. No, it was at that moment. And she had to touch Him. And she had to fight through the crowds. Some of us have to fight through what our family said about us. Some of us have to fight through what we think about us. Behold his love. At that moment, there's not another moment to touch the robe. Blind men, Jesus was walking by at that moment. Be quiet. Men told him, be quiet. There's a voice telling you, shut up. Don't say that about yourself. No. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. Son of David. Son of David is a messianic term. They're blind. They never read the scriptures, but they knew he was the Messiah. That's a messianic term. Jesus, we know who you are. Have mercy on us. Lord, I thank you for walking by the epicenter today.